There's some more verses from John chapter 20. John 20 and verse 11. John 20, verse 11. And this is about Mary Magdalene. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. I want you to picture this morning, this first Easter Sunday morning, and when you compare Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have a good idea just of what the morning was like. Matthew 28 and verse 1 says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week." Toward the dawn. Mark 16 verse 2 says, "And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen." Luke 24 and 1 says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn." John 20 and 1 says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark." So we can picture that time. The sun hadn't risen, and yet it was just on the verge of rising. It was still dark, but yet light was bursting through. We read in other Gospels that other women were with her. But John focuses on Mary Magdalene in these verses. And I just want to leave you three very simple points from this passage. We see her fears, her tears, and her cheers. So there's an outline that you can remember, all right. Because she had fears. Matthew 28 and verse 5 says, "But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid.'" So there must have been. "For I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified." And down in verse 8 it says, "So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples." So there was a mixture of these emotions, fear and joy at the same time. Mark 16 verse 5 says, "And they were alarmed." And verse 8 says, "And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." So this was something that they had never experienced before. An angel talking to them. Because verse 3 tells us here in John that it was their point of conversation. Who was going to roll away the stone for us? Who's going to roll away this huge stone? And even though there was about three at least women, even their strength put together would not have moved this huge stone over the tomb. And one has said, "The women's awe at being eyewitnesses to an act of God that changed all of history. On that Easter morning, Luke 24, verses 4 and 5 says, "While they were perplexed, and as they were frightened." So you can see a picture here. Why are you afraid, alarmed, trembling, astonished, perplexed, frightened? What a mixture of emotions in there. They're fierce. And then we can see Mary's tears in verses 11 and 12 here. It says, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb." Maybe the other women had gone away, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. You see, when you compare the Gospels, she had gone to the disciples. Peter and John had come to the tomb. They had looked in. Peter had gone in. And then they went away. But Mary didn't go away. And then she stooped to look into the tomb. And what did she see? And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. I read a lovely comment the other day on this. The place of Jesus' death was between two thieves, but the place of his burial was between two angels. Isn't that lovely? The place of Jesus' death was between two thieves, but the place of his burial was between two angels. And she's weeping. And the angels say to her in verse 13, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Now, when a woman was addressed in the Bible as woman, it wasn't in a derogatory way. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping?" And want to say it again, that from the perspective of heaven, nothing is more out of place than tears at the empty tomb of Jesus. If there is one place in space and one moment in time when tears are appropriate, it is at the empty tomb of Jesus, or inappropriate, it is at the empty tomb of Jesus on Easter morning. But these tears of Mary, they were not tears of joy at this moment. They were tears of sorrow. Because what we have got to see here, this is one of the worst moments in Mary Magdalene's life. She had been at the cross. She had seen Jesus die. She had seen him taken down from the cross. She had seen him put very carefully and tenderly into the tomb. And now she was coming back to the tomb to put spices, what the custom was in those days. But the stone was rolled away. The entrance was exposed. There was no body there. And of course she is wondering what is going on. But there's a lovely thing here as well in verse 13. "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." She thought the body had been stolen. Or she thought that they've taken the body out of this tomb and they have put him in another tomb. And she just wanted to know his whereabouts. But it's what she says here, "They have taken away my Lord." Because in verse 2, she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple being John, the author of this gospel, the one whom Jesus loved, and she said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." They have taken away the Lord, and they have taken away my Lord. Now, on this Easter Sunday morning, what is the Lord to you? Is he the Lord? Or is he my Lord? Because we can all talk about the Lord. Churches are full. This morning, dawn services, they're full of people who can talk about the Lord. And we can sing Easter praises, and we can finish off tonight, and we can put Easter away for another year. The Lord. But this day, and tomorrow, and the 365 days until next Easter or thereabouts, is he my Lord? Can you say he's my Lord? Every day is different. Every day is an Easter day, because I rejoice in my risen Lord. He's my Lord. And when you consider her background of Mary Magdalene, you know, we read in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 39, where the Lord Jesus arrived in the region of Magadan or Magdala. Now, we never read of the place again. We don't know anything about the place. That's the only mention of it in the New Testament, Magdala. But it's where Mary was from. She was Mary of Magdala, Mary Magdalene. And the very reason why Jesus went to Magdala was to meet this lost sheep, Mary Magdalene. Because we read something about her dark background in Mark 16 and verse 9. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. Luke 8 and verse 2 says, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. And that's all we read about Mary Magdalene. The Roman Catholic Church has this picture of Mary Magdalene, that she was a fallen woman. She was a very sexually immoral woman. There's absolutely no evidence in Scripture of that. That is just coming from tradition. There's nothing in Scripture. We don't know the nature of these evil spirits. We don't know how they had influenced her life. But it must have been very dark and very deep in the depths of sin, Mary Magdalene. But she had been rescued. She had been delivered, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She was helpless in herself. She couldn't cast them out herself. The Lord Jesus had to cast them out. She was a tormented soul. But once she was delivered, she was a very faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. John Bunyan has said, it is better to enter into heaven with seven devils excavated out of our hearts as with a knife, than to have them gnawing in our hearts to all eternity. So whatever her background was, and every Christian can have a testimony, and we need to be saved from our sins. But she was a tormented woman, but she became a transformed woman. And then she became a thankful woman. She never left Christ. Or she was a shackled woman, and she became a saved woman, and she became a serving woman. Luke 8, verses 1 to 3 says, "Soon afterward he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means." She may not have been a poor woman, because she was able to help the Savior and the disciples out of her means. But she had witnessed the entire event of Calvary. She was there at the very start. She never left to the very end. Matthew 27, 55 and 56. There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And one has said, "Not she with traitorous kiss her master stung, not she denied him with unfaithful tongue. She, when apostles fled, could dangers brave, last at the cross and earliest at the grave." I wonder, are we as dedicated to the Savior as Mary Magdalene was? "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." It was one of the darkest moments since her conversion, and she wasn't converted all that long. Somewhere in the Lord's 3 years of public ministry, he had been to Magdala or Magadan, and he had delivered Mary from her darkness and from her depths of sin and from her deadness, and had brought her to life and to light. So she wasn't converted all that long, but what a dedicated follower of Christ. What an example to us all. What a rebuke to us all. And even though this was one of the darkest moments since her conversion, what a change. What a change came about. We see her cheers in verses 13 to 16. Another man appears on the scene. "Having said this," verse 14, "having said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman,'" the second time she was addressed as woman, "'why are you weeping?'" The same question that the angels asked her, "'Whom are you seeking?'" Supposing him to be the gardener, because the Lord Jesus was buried in the tomb where there was a garden, and there would have been a gardener to tend the garden, she said to him. And she probably didn't recognize Jesus because of the semi-darkness, twilight, early morning. And she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." It shows you how desperate. What was she going to do with a dead body? "And I will take him away." Now, she didn't recognize the voice of Jesus when he addressed her as, "Woman, why are you weeping?" But the moment he mentioned her name, she knew immediately who it was. Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Mary. And one has said one word which remade her world and transformed her life forever after. And the word was her own name, Mary. I wonder on this Easter morning if the Lord was to say your name. You see, she was one of his sheep. And John 10, verses 3 to 5 says, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and they do not know the voice of strangers. As soon as he said her name, Mary, she knew it was her shepherd. And what did she call him? Rabboni, which means teacher. And apparently that was her strongest expression of reverent love, by calling him Rabboni, teacher. He's my teacher. He has taught me so much. I've yet much to learn. He will continue to teach me. Teacher. And then verse 17 it says, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, because we know from the other Gospels that she fell at his feet and just hugged his feet as a sign of devotion and loyalty to him. But Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And this simply means that along with the other disciples, Mary too had to learn how to rise to a higher and at the same time a nearer but spiritual communion with him. Her earthly affection needed to be elevated into a heavenly love. And that's the relationship that Christians have with Jesus today. That heavenly love. That nearer yet spiritual communion. You see, Mary Magdalene, verse 18 it says here, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And that he had said these things to her, and we never read of her again. We never read of her again. I have seen the Lord. And she would have perhaps lived to see the ascension and the day of Pentecost, because we're learning on Tuesday nights from John 13 to 17, those last couple of hours that Jesus spent with the disciples, and he taught them many things. And one of the things he taught them was this, I'm going away, but I will be replaced by the Holy Spirit. I am going, he is coming. He will teach you all things. He will guide you into all truth. I'll not be with you in bodily form the way you see me now, but I will be with you spiritually. I'll be with you in your heart. I will be with you through the Holy Spirit. And Mary would have lived to have witnessed that change over. What we can know today in our lives. So on that first Easter morning, Mary Magdalene was able to say, he's my Lord. Can you say that? You've seen many Easters. He's my Lord. And I close with this quote. The whole point of the resurrection is that we can meet Jesus today. Not precisely in Mary's tangible terms, but through the Spirit and by faith. And the encounter can be no less life-changing. Triumphant over death, he is alive forever and hence our contemporary. He still comes to transform broken, sorrowing, and fearful lives with the sheer uninhibited gladness of discovering him alive with us. Her fears, her tears, and yet her cheers. Her heart is gladdened. The burden is lifted because of the risen Christ on that first Easter morning. May the Lord bless this passage of Scripture to your hearts today.